wise words, wisdom with your words. And there's really, in this passage, there's a lot of comparison and contrast. A lot of comparison and contrast of what the tongue is like, and then giving the opposite sides of the spectrum. And last week we looked at the tongue, and we looked at the hypocrisy or hypocritical tongue. And the Bible says in these previous verses, out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. And as a Christian, and we looked at it last week, that we're Christian 100% of the time. And so we should act like a Christian all the time. Now, no one's perfect. No one has reached perfection there. But we should not have a hypocritical life. And we should not have a hypocritical speech where we're saying one thing and doing another, expecting from one person and not for ourselves. And so we have that comparison and contrast of the blessing and cursing that comes from our mouth. But now we're going to look in verse 13 through 18 about wisdom with our words. And so let's read these verses this evening. James chapter 3, beginning in verse 13, it says, "Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. But if ye have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace." So we see this comparison and contrast here, and really the contrast of having wisdom with your words, and this wisdom that is from above. And then it talks about in verse number 15 about the wisdom that is from beneath or from below. And the Bible says it descendeth not from above. So you have two different kinds of wisdom. You ever notice that in this world? There's people that have biblical wisdom, and you have people that have wisdom that comes from the world. And to be honest, that's a wisdom that is foolishness. And we'll see very much of a contrast of those two. And we should have wisdom with our words. And so we're going to look at this tonight. Why don't we pray as we get into the lesson this evening? Lord, we thank you for the night. Pray for wisdom and help as we look at the Word of God, and for humility as we look at the Word of God and we look at that in comparison to our lives, that you would give us wisdom this evening. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So we're going to mainly focus on verse number 13 and verse number 17 tonight. And we're going to take the wisdom from above tonight. And then the next time we get together, it will be the wisdom that is not from above and the wisdom from this world, and look at the contrast of those two. So we're going to look at the wisdom that is from above. In verse number 13, though, it starts out with a question. And the question is this: who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? So all this challenge about the tongue, and then he directs the conversation to the audience and said, who is a wise man and endued or someone that has dwelling knowledge among you? Asking a question. And I think the question is a little bit rhetorical. You ask those questions and it doesn't really need an answer. And he says, and I think he's asking it this way, if I read it correctly: is there anyone out there that has any wisdom? Is the way that I look at it. Is there anyone that has any biblical wisdom, spiritual wisdom that comes from above? You look around at this world today, and it's easy to look around and think, is there anyone that has some common sense, some biblical wisdom? There's people in the world that they have what you would call as the world's wisdom. The world's wisdom. But guess what? The world's wisdom is not God's wisdom. Is not biblical wisdom. There is very much a difference of the wisdom that comes from above and the wisdom that you find in this world. And it says, who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Wisdom is the right use or exercise of knowledge. You know, the only difference between a wise person and a foolish person is what they do with the knowledge that is given to them. Right? Someone that can grow up in the same home, in the same church, and have the same access to the knowledge the same biblical teaching. And a fool is one that rejects that knowledge, and a wise person is one that accepts it and uses it, the correct use of knowledge. So just having a Bible does not make you a wise person. Just going to church doesn't make you a wise person. It's when you take the knowledge that God has given to you and you put it into practice. That's what a wise person is we take what God gave us and put it into practice. And he says, is any among you wise? Is there any wise man among you and endued with knowledge? We see a contrast in these verses, and in 1 Corinthians, we read a few verses, and it says this. In 1 Corinthians 3:18 and 19, it says, let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seemeth to be wise in this world, let him become a fool, that he may be wise. In the world's eyes, being wise with the word of God is being a fool. It's the opposite. And it says this, for the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. You look at the wisdom this world has to give, and that is foolishness to God. Why? Because that goes against the word of God. The wisdom this world has, well, it comes from the flesh, it comes from the devil, and it goes against what God teaches. And so we see that there's a contrast of what the world's wisdom and God's wisdom, right? Some of the smartest people that have all the letters that go before their names, and they're a doctor and PhD and all this stuff, you can have all the wisdom this world has to give and be a fool in God's eyes. You can have all the knowledge, all the money, all the fame that the world has to offer, but if you don't have the wisdom that comes from above, that's foolishness. You've missed the... Why? Because the Bible says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. If you don't have the knowledge of God, you don't even have the beginning of wisdom. You haven't even began understanding knowledge. It says this, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. The book of James is really the New Testament Proverbs, and it has a lot of just basic truths. And when you look at the subject of being wise or a fool, well, Proverbs has much to say about that, right? It has much to say about a wise person, a foolish person, a simple person, a scorner. And you see a contrast between the wise and the fool. In Proverbs 9:10, it says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. So tonight, I want to encourage you with a thought about having wisdom with your words, to choose to have wisdom. Well, this goes back to James chapter 1, verse number 5, where it says this at the beginning of this book and the beginning of this chapter. It says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of who? Of God. Anyone in here lack wisdom? You don't have to raise your hands, right? You lack wisdom? Or you have like all the understanding with your job, with your spouse, with your children, with your finance, with everything in life. You have just complete understanding, wisdom, and knowledge with that. No. Too often I think this, Lord, I don't know if I know anything. Would you help me? I don't know what I'm doing. You ever get that place and you're like, man, Lord, I don't know what I'm doing. And God says, well, if any of you lack wisdom, you have to admit that first, that you lack the wisdom. That's humility, so that you come to God and say, God, I need your wisdom because I cannot do it on my own. And God said, okay, now I can give you wisdom. And he said, and if you ask God for wisdom, God giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. See, if we want wisdom, we need to go to God, because God is the source of knowledge. He's the source of wisdom, and it's separate from the wisdom of this world. So if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. So number one, wisdom comes from God. But look at the next part of this verse in James 3, verse number 13. You know, again, it says, who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? It asks a question, and then it really gives the answer. And it says, let him, this wise person, let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. If you say that you're a wise person, well then, show it. And that's really what the book of James is about, is putting your faith to work. putting your faith to work, being a real Christian. If you say you're a wise person, well, then act wise, right? If you say that you're a Christian, well, act like a Christian should act, is what he's saying. Let him show out of a good conversation. That word conversation is conduct or behavior. So in your life, show the wisdom that comes from above, that comes from God. It says, with meekness and of wisdom. So this wisdom that comes from above, this wisdom, it's heard by your words. This whole chapter is all about your words and about your speech. And what is the first thing that you usually learn about someone, or how you learn about them, is usually from what they say. And when you talk to someone, you very quickly get to learn who they are and what they're about. And the wisdom that comes from above comes from God. And wisdom in our life, it's heard in our words. You're speaking wisdom that comes from above, or you're speaking wisdom that comes from below and from beneath. So our wisdom is heard by our words, but also our wisdom is seen in our actions. Remember, it says, is anyone among you wise? Is there a wise man among you endued with knowledge? Let him show out of a good conversation. We can say that we're wise. We can say we're a Christian. But as we see from the Word of God, God says, well, show it. Well, prove it. And proving our faith by our works. So we're going to look at this next verse here, and we're going to look at seven ingredients or signs of wisdom. Seven ingredients or signs of wisdom. Kind of similar to the fruit of the Spirit, but if you have wisdom, then these next seven signs are going to show up in your life to show that you are wise with your words, but then also with your actions. And so as we look at verse number 17, the Bible says, but the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. So we're going to go through each of these tonight, and we're going to briefly go through these and give a definition and some application for these tonight. Seven ingredients or signs of that you have wisdom in your life, and that it shows in your life as well. Not just saying it, but showing it, putting it into practice. The Bible says the wisdom that is from above is first pure. Right? You notice that? Now, I believe that every word of God is pure, and that God puts every word in the Bible in place for a reason. Exactly where God wanted it, right? The wisdom that is from above is first pure. Why? Because one of God's greatest attributes is holiness. That is the center of God's characteristics and attributes, because if God is not holy, well, then the other attributes around God don't fit. And so God is holy, God is pure, and God calls us to be holy as he is holy. Now again, has anyone reached perfection tonight? I don't think so. We've not reached that tonight, but that is our goal, our desire to be pure, to be holy, to be right before God. To be pure is without sin and holy. I mean, wouldn't that be great in your life that you say that you got to a place in your life, you are without sin, you're pure, you're holy. Well, we're not going to reach that in this life because we have a sinful nature. But for those of you, if you know that you're saved, well, one day we will know perfection in heaven. We'll never know perfection on this earth by a human example that we have. But in heaven, we'll be given a perfect body. And we will then know perfection that we don't know here. But to have wisdom that's from above, it starts with holiness. It starts with purity. It starts with righteousness, being right before God. As a Christian, that should be our desire in our life, to live a holy life, shouldn't it? Shouldn't that be our desire, that we want to live each day, to live a holy, righteous life? Now, you're not going to make it through a day having 100% perfection going throughout a day, a week, a month, a year. It's not going to happen. But we should strive to live a holy life. And to have wisdom in your life, wisdom with your words and with your actions, it starts with being pure, being holy, being right with God. We also, as we looked at that James is really the New Testament Proverbs, we also looked that there's many comparisons between the book of James and the Beatitudes. As we look in the book of Matthew, we find an example here. The Bible says, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." So when we talk about wisdom with our words, are the words coming out of your mouth, are they pure? Are the words coming out of your mouth, are they righteous? Are they holy? Are they glorifying God? Are they consistent with what the Bible preaches and teaches? Or does something slip out of your mouth and you say, "Well, that wasn't holy"? Well, get that right with God. Unholiness should not come out of a saved person. And again, we looked at a hypocritical person where it says, "Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. These things ought not so to be." There should not come unholiness out of our mouth. There should not become unholiness and wickedness coming from our lives. The wisdom that is from above is first pure. It continues on and says, then peaceable. First pure and then peaceable. You know what? This world today is crying for peace, isn't it? That we would just have peace and we would all get along. Well, first of all, that's never going to happen. I don't know any house where it's been all peace. I don't know any church or school or any single person's life where we can just even be at peace amongst myself. But the Bible says first pure and then peaceable. You know why the world's never going to have peace? Because the world is trying to have peace without God. You know that? Let's just all be kind and get along. My family knows, yes, we should be kind. But there's such a slogan today of everyone just be kind and that will solve the world's problems. If you can be anything, be kind. Well, no, that is not the number one goal, although we should be kind. Don't get me wrong with that. But the goal is we should be like Christ. Amen? And the world's like, just be kind. Let's just be at peace. And what the world is saying, just get along, set aside your differences. It doesn't matter if you think it's right or wrong. Let's just be at peace and be kind to each other. Well, there is right and there is wrong. And the world doesn't always look at calling something wrong as being peaceable. With that being said, wisdom is peaceable. And peace follows purity. Peace follows purity. And how can we be pure before God? Well, you're saved. You know that you're a Christian, that the Holy Spirit lives in your heart. You walk with God, live a pure, separated life. And after that comes peace. You know that? When you get saved, well, then you have the Holy Spirit in your heart. You know you're saved. Well, then you have peace. You're obeying God's word. Well, then comes peace. But too many times people are trying to have a peaceable life walking apart from God. Well, there's no peace there. There's a lot of correction, destruction, and a mess that comes from living opposite from the word of God. This wisdom is peaceable. Only God can bring peace, right? Only God can bring peace. And I think about that in the book of Luke, that Jesus came to bring peace when Jesus came. The Bible says in Philippians 4, verse 7, "And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." How can you have peace in the storm? Because God's with you, right? You can have peace. You think, well, look at where the world is going today. I get it. But as a Christian, I have peace because you have God in your heart. You have the Word of God to direct your life. You know where you're going someday if you're saved and going to heaven. Well, I can have peace. You know what? As Christians, we don't need to worry all the time. You know that? We don't have to worry and fret and get all upset and angry like the rest of the world does. You can have peace because God's in control. Amen, right? Having first pure, then peaceable. The Bible says in Matthew 5, verse 9, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God." Peaceable. You know what? The world is really double-tongued when it comes to this. They call for peace, but there is so much hate and anger and wickedness that comes from the flesh and from the world. And there's a lot of just garbage that's spewed out. As a Christian, I should not be part of that. Amen? We should be peaceable. I'm not looking to get in a fight. I'm not looking to spew anger and hate as the world does. We should be peaceable. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Romans 12 says, if it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. There should nothing be between me and another person that I have not forgiven, that I've not done my best to get right with that person. There should be peace in my heart, not looking for an argument or a fight or anger or hatred. Why should we? We should be at peace. We should be right with God and right with others. Some people like to just stir the pot. You know those people? They come into work for the day and they're just stirring the pot, trying to get someone going. Why? Because something's not right on the inside and they're trying to get everyone else riled up. They drive down the road and they're trying to get everyone angry along the way. They walk in the house, they get in their job or in a school, and they're just trying to stir the pot. Why? Because there's no peace. As a Christian, there should be peace in our heart that spills out and is shown by our words and by our actions. Peacemakers seek to settle disputes instead of provoking them. Why? Showing the love of God. So the wisdom is first pure, then peaceable, and the next wisdom is gentle. Wisdom is gentle. Wisdom is gentle, meaning patient or fair. Not harsh with others, not giving unfair expectations, not being hurtful or hateful, being gentle. What did Jesus do to his accusers? He fought back, right? You know, some people, they're just looking. They're looking to get even with somebody. No, what did Jesus do? He answered not a word to his accusers. When they beat him, when they mocked him, when they spat upon him. Now, I don't know. Someone does that to me, I'm going to have a hard time keeping my mouth closed and not responding to that. But Jesus was gentle. He didn't respond to them. When Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane with the disciples and Judas, his kiss of betrayal, I mean, of all people that came to betray Jesus, Judas, one of the disciples, and Peter picks up that sword and cuts off the high priest's ear, chops it off, and what does Jesus do? He said, no, that's not the time, and he put his ear back on. Why? It was gentle. He wasn't trying to incite some kind of a fight or anger, to be gentle. The Bible says the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle. To be gentle. Now, I understand, guys, you may not want to be described as being gentle, right? But being gentle. Have you ever seen a child with a pet? You know, they get their puppy. And you see that, maybe that little child, and they've got their pet, and you think that child might possibly end that pet's life, you know? They grab it by the ears and the tail and shake, and you're like, no, you can't do that. And we've had a couple of dogs, and they've been very gentle nature. And you can pretty much fight with them, and they're not going to fight back. But there's a few times with our kids, I look at the dog and I say, they deserve to get bit now. They're trying to get bit. And I'm like, you've got to teach my kid a lesson. I'm trying, but you're going to have to fight back at some point. Now, I'm not saying to fight back, but be gentle. Being gentle, not trying, not looking for a fight, not looking to get others upset, but don't take the bait because they're out there. Wisdom is gentle. Wisdom is easy to be entreated. A person is open to reason, willing to listen and cooperate, as long as it doesn't go against scriptural principles and that those aren't violated. Someone that's open to reason, willing to listen, they're easy to be entreated. Not that person that's always got to be in charge and saying something. Easy to be entreated. Reasonable. Willing to listen. Easy to work with. Someone that isn't just always against and really that's pride getting in the way. Easy to be entreated. Next one, wisdom is full of mercy. Let me find my spot here again. Full of mercy and good fruits. Full of mercy and good fruits. And again, every word that God put in its place, it starts out that wisdom is first pure. And then in this spot, it says, it adds another word here. It's full of mercy and good fruits. full. Kind of like when you get that bowl for ice cream, you want it full to the top, right? You don't want a little bit. That's kind of insulting. You're like, I'm just getting a taste. Fill it up all the way. But the Bible says full of mercy and good fruits. Mercy is compassion for others, forgiving. Full of mercy. The Bible says, be ye therefore merciful as your Father also is merciful. You say, but you don't know what they did. Well, if God treated us that way, if God did not show mercy to us, man, we would get a whole lot more than what was coming our way, wouldn't we? But God is merciful. Aren't you thankful for God's mercy? And the Bible says, be ye therefore merciful as your Father also is merciful. Back to the Beatitudes, it says this, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. You give mercy, you get mercy back. You don't give mercy, you're not getting mercy back either. So being merciful, mercy is not excusing the wrong, right? Mercy is not excusing a wicked lifestyle and wrong. But mercy is not always being that judgment and laying the hammer down. Jesus, when he was met with that woman caught in the act of adultery, he said, let him that be perfect cast the first stone. And he wasn't saying she hadn't done wrong. He said, but to this woman, go and sin no more. He showed mercy. He showed mercy. Some only want to receive mercy, but never give it out. Give me mercy. I mean, I'm not perfect, but when someone else does wrong, we're ready to lay the hammer down. As we have received mercy, we should give mercy. As God has been merciful to us, we should have mercy as well. The Bible says, full of mercy and full of good fruits. Full of good fruits. Full of good fruits are the fruit of our life. The fruit of our life of living the life that a Christian should. The fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering. We go through the whole list of the fruit of the Spirit. Well, that comes from walking with God. You ever grabbed a piece of fruit and it looked good on the outside? It looked good, it looked right, it felt right, and then you cut it open and it was disgusting. I remember as a kid one time that we cut open, I believe it was an apple, and we cut the apple open, getting ready to eat a nice, crisp, juicy apple, and cut it open only to find that there was worms all inside of that apple. I'm glad that I cut it through first before taking a bite of it, but it makes me think, how many apples did I eat without cutting them open, and I have no idea what I ate? The Bible says full of good fruit. You know that there's good fruit and bad fruit? You get that one, you thought it was good, and it's not. Sometimes you see it on the outside, sometimes it's just on the inside. As a Christian, may we desire to be full of good fruits with our speech, with our actions, living as God, as Jesus would have us to live, full of good fruits. Someone that is living what the Bible teaches. We'll continue on because we have a couple more points here. Wisdom is without partiality. Without partiality, without judgment, without bias or favoritism. Without judgment, bias, or favoritism. Partiality, all right? Everyone is partial to certain things, right? You have your favorite restaurant, right? Okay, you can say you don't, but teachers, maybe you have your favorite student, all right? You have your favorite chair in church. Everyone, you're partial to certain things. And sometimes you have a bad experience with one thing. You had a bad experience at a restaurant, and you wrote that restaurant off for the next, like, 5 decades of your life because you had one bad experience. Well, as a Christian, as a human, we have partiality. Well, someone said something to me one time, and now I'm holding it against every person that comes my way. Well, that's having partiality, right? Well, my dad did this, or my coworker, or this place, and we have judgment, bias, or favoritism, whatever way you look at that. You know, without partiality is this, treating everyone with the same love and respect that God would treat them, right? Everyone should have the decency to be treated with the same love and respect as everyone. You say, but you don't know what they did. Well, let's go back to this again. For God so loved the perfect people of this world, right? For God only loved the saved people of this world. No, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. There wasn't partiality there, that God loved the world. This doesn't excuse wrong, but God loved the world. Some people are kind of sitting on the perch, looking for, waiting for someone to cross that line. I know they're going to do it. I know they're going to do it again. You know that one thing that really gets you going? That someone hits that button and it makes you mad and you're waiting for that person to cross the line. You know, we shouldn't be looking for reasons to jump on someone's case without partiality. We should have biblical separation with love. And then lastly tonight is without hypocrisy. Wisdom is without hypocrisy. This goes back to the previous lesson. There is maybe nothing more dangerous to the Christian life than a hypocritical Christian. Someone that says, well, I'm saved, I'm going to heaven, you know, I'm going to church, and maybe it's someone that, well, you teach a class, or you work on a bus, or you have a place of leadership. Either way, someone, the only Christ that someone may see is through your life. The only Bible that someone may see is through your life. And if we live with hypocrisy, and we say one thing on Sunday, but we're another thing on Monday, you're talking about the Bible one moment and telling a dirty joke the next moment, well, that's hypocrisy. That doesn't go together. Out of the same mouth proceeded blessing and cursing. These things ought not so to be. A wise person does not say one thing and then do the other. All right, parents, you ever did that? No, you can't eat this chocolate. And then you go hide and eat the chocolate, right? Your kids catch you. They catch you and like, how come you did? You're like, I'm the parent. You just can't do it, you know? But when it comes to things that are right or wrong, if it's right or wrong, that's the same for everybody, isn't it? Without hypocrisy. Well, you know, today people like to do this. Well, I don't believe that verse is for me today. That might be good for you, but not for me. Well, that's hypocrisy. If it's good for one, it's good for all. A wise person does not talk one way and then live the other way. In other words, as you would say, practicing what you preach. If you say, if you're preaching, you're giving it. If we should be living up to what God tells in his word, we should be what some would say the real deal, right? Don't you appreciate people that are just real? They're just honest. They just are who they say they are, and not in a bad way, but someone that's just a real Christian. That they speak about God, but they live it as well, and it backs it up. So as we look at the subject tonight about ingredients of wisdom or signs of wisdom, they'd be pure. Are the words coming out of your mouth pure? Are they peaceable? Are they gentle, easy to be entreated? Won't go through all of them or the definitions again. But our words matter, right? And guess what? They matter at home. They matter in our workplaces. They matter in our neighborhood and our church. I hope we're not going through our Christian life and we turn on the switch. Well, I'm a Christian now and I'm not a Christian now. You know, we're clocking in and clocking out. You know, we're a Christian 100% of the time. You're saved and going to heaven all the time. May we be real with our words and with our speech. As it was said, who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works of meekness and wisdom. Hey, you say that you're a wise person, you're saved. Well, let's show that as well. Let's live it out every day as Christ would have us to. Let's pray as we finish the service tonight. Thank you, Lord, for the night. Help us, Lord, to have wisdom with our speech. As you've already mentioned in the book of James, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. I believe all of us could have more wisdom. We could follow you more with our speech, with our wisdom, with our words, with our conversation. May you bless the service tonight. Bless the offerings. We take it now this evening. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. just a couple announcements, and then we will be dismissed tonight. Few things about the Cowboy Carnival. You knew it was coming, but we have invitations at the information station. We passed out quite a few already, so we ordered more flyers, which is an exciting thing. So I want to encourage you to get these and pass them out everywhere that you go and invite people to the Cowboy Carnival. It is free for everyone to come, of course, and it's September 21st and 22nd. The Walkers show up a week from yesterday. They're coming next Tuesday, and so be in prayer for this. There's a lot of work to be done, and if you can help in any way, a couple things that you could help with this Friday night at 5 o'clock. We're going to start raising the tent, and we'll go probably until dark and do as much as we can that night. Finish the next morning at 8 o'clock. We'll continue that Saturday morning. If you can help in any way with raising the tent Friday night or Saturday morning, would you see myself or Brother James or Brother Drew and let us know so that we can make sure we know we have enough people there, and that would be a big help. We have canvassing for the carnival this Saturday morning at 9:30. We had a big canvassing time this last Saturday at 9:30, a great group that came out, but we have it again this Saturday at 9:30. And then a couple other ways you can help with the carnival. If you can bring bags of individually wrapped candy, no chocolate or gum, I think you know the routine, and leave that out there. That would be a blessing. And if you could help donate Walmart gift cards, $50 Walmart gift cards for giveaways, that would be a blessing as well. If you've never worked in this event, or even if you have, we have a workers' meeting this Sunday night at the end of the service. Please be here. We're going to give it a lot of duties, instructions, and that'll be a big help. And the last thing is this, this Saturday, as we mentioned already, the memorial service for Brother Richard Roberts, 2 o'clock here in the auditorium. And so if you can be here to be an encouragement to the family, that would be a blessing. Thank you for being here tonight. Let's stand to our feet. We'll have a word of prayer and be dismissed. Thank you, Lord, for this night. Please send us home with safety and with your blessing. We love you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.